Join the conversation in Clare. Call John now on 1850 400 964.
And 53030 if you want to get in touch. Just over 3 weeks ago, on April 12th, you heard an interview on this programme with Czech national Joseph Pavelka and his Polish friend Peter Barham, as I met the two homeless men who were sleeping in public toilets in Ennis, in a situation described by the judge at Ennis District Court as a scandal. Well, immediately after that programme, the St Vincent de Paul arranged temporary accommodation for the two men in Galway, but they left that hostel and were back on the streets of Ennis last week, already coming to the attention of the law over drinking in public again, as I found out when I saw Joseph Pavelka at the District Court in Ennis again on Wednesday last. 3 days later, Joseph was found dead on the streets of Ennis in the laneway behind Supermax on O'Connell Street, in a tragic end to a sad story, the outcome of which had been predicted by some on this programme just over 3 weeks ago. We'll be talking about Joseph Pavelka's life and death in Ennis in detail in just a few moments, but first, here's a reminder of my interview with him on April 12th. Joseph Pavelka, you sleep in this toilet. How long have you been doing this?
Two months now.
And why do you sleep here?
Out in the hostel. The money out.
Tony, you're translating from here.
Yeah. He's saying that for 4 months he was living with a friend during the winter months, and since then, because he's not in receipt of any money, he's had no option because he's had to leave his friend's house, that he's been here nearly 2 months now, sleeping in the public toilet.
I know that Joseph has been homeless for many years. People might wonder why he stays in Ennis, or does he have any options? Could we ask him that?
On it's a spytać, dlaczego zostajesz w Ennis? Czy nie masz inne opcje?
Nie ma. No.
Nie ma tam żadnej rodziny. Tu nie ma do kogo wrócić.
He said that he can't return home to his home of Czech Republic because he has no family left back there, and there's absolutely no one for Joseph to return back to.
What would you like to happen, Joseph? Do you want to stay in Ennis, and where would you like to live?
Co by było najlepsza opcja dla ciebie? Zostać tu?
Painting.
Mamy.
Just one moment, because you'd like to stay in Ennis painting,
yeah,
Joseph.
Ennis. And painting. Three operation. Okay. My leg.
I think he's saying he's willing to work,
yeah,
Tony.
Sure, yeah, because Joseph would have worked in construction for quite a long time before that, but he, as he was alluding to there, he had some problems, some health problems. He's had operations for a problem in his leg, and that's made it very difficult for him to work in construction.
Peter, I might just ask you, Joseph's court case has highlighted this case, and the judge in the case said that this was a scandal, that he would live in a toilet, or that anyone would live in a public toilet. Do you expect anything will change after that court case, or do you think anything will change for Joseph?
We have the meeting with probation officer Monday, so we will go. I don't want to sleep the toilet. It's disgusting, you know. It's very bad. Sleep the public toilet. No, it's disgusting. Okay. You know.
Peter, thank you very much for talking to me, and thank you as well, Joseph.
I don't know problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
All
right.
That was the late Joseph Pavelka speaking to me with the help of Peter Barham and Anthony McDonough just over 3 weeks ago. And as you know, Joseph Pavelka was found dead in Ennis on Saturday night. I'm joined in studio by Anthony McDonough. What were your thoughts when you heard of Joseph's death? How did you hear of it?
I wasn't in Ennis at the weekend. I got a call, and it was with some people that I work with in our organisation, and the sad news filtered through by kind of Saturday morning. It was the next morning it was all confirmed, so just sadness was the first thing, you know. Sadness.
Right. Some people might say they weren't shocked or surprised that this happened. Some people indeed had said this was going to happen.
It's something that we had, you know, I won't say expected, but it was our fear for quite a while. I remember Josie mentioning it here on the show, and, you know, we had a suspicion. I know that there was a great sense of kind of, satisfaction on a lot of fronts when the guys were moved to Galway, because it seemed like a very positive move. But unfortunately, having been with the guys in Galway during their stay there, things were not good. You know, Joseph had his appendix removed. There was serious health issues. There was issues with food. There was a lot of other issues. So, you know, yeah. But
so
they are there.
After recent surgery, then he was back on the streets and presumably drinking again.
How the guys ended up back in the streets was they decided at one point that they were going to return to Ennis because basically the lads, as everybody knows, have in one case still has before had, but have a great support network in Ennis. And moving the guys out of Ennis actually tore them right out of that support network, and they found it very difficult to adjust to life in Galway. The emergency accommodation was a tourist hostel, and I think one damning review on TripAdvisor describes it as the hostel from hell, and it certainly wasn't a suitable environment for the guys, especially given their, as it's been described, chronic addictions that nobody's denying.
We heard in court last Wednesday that since they had returned to Ennis, people were giving them more money because they knew them at this stage, and ultimately they were drinking more because of this. Do you think that's what led to Joseph's death?
Alcohol is a massive issue. I'm not gonna get involved because I've already seen some of the speculation regarding Joseph's sad passing, and I wouldn't like to get involved in speculation. There's toxicology reports. I'm not denying that. Nobody's
okay. I'm just trying to piece together, Anthony, what went on. And you've told us that he had emergency surgery to remove his appendix. He was back on the streets drinking. This is a terrible situation, obviously.
Absolutely,
His health can only have deteriorated, one would assume. But no, I don't know exactly how he died, and I'm not trying to suggest that that's exactly what happened. Yeah. For now, we can only assume. Yeah.
Alcohol was very much at the centre of this situation. Everybody's clear about that.
Father Tom Hogan joins me again from the Ennis Parish. Some people felt there was an inevitability in this. In this sad end for Joseph Pavelka. Others obviously concerned that it had to end this way, or that something couldn't have been done. But when you heard that somebody was found dead on the streets of Ennis in this situation, what are your thoughts?
Well, I suppose my thoughts were, again, my memory, I'm in Ennis 14 years, and I went back over other faces that I have known, people who have been like the same scenario as Joseph. And I remember Willie and Paddy and Anne and Paul, and several names whose lives as well were taken over by alcohol, and they were, as the country people said, they were martyrs to the drink. And the human body can only take so much abuse, eventually is that something gives. And with Joseph's, obviously, poor health, he only had surgery a number of days ago. We all know the time it takes to recover from even the smallest little bit of surgery, and we're told to take it easy. And if you're back out into a situation that's the very opposite to taking it easy and minding yourself, something has to give. And only 52 years of age, just a waste of a life. But unfortunately, that's the way in which so many people whose lives are taken over with addictions to alcohol or to other narcotics goes.
Some people aren't so sympathetic in this case, Father Tom. Did you hear that kind of reaction over the weekend? Because I'm sure it was mentioned at masses or from people you met on Sunday or yesterday.
And I've heard it. Of course, I have heard it. I understand it. You can understand people being angry, and too much being done, and too much being made of people who are inflicting this on themselves. But that's the reality of life, and from where we come from, with a Christian perspective, we believe that you can never have too much love, and you try to do the little bit we can do for each other, the same as in family. And I suppose there's no one that doesn't know personally, either in an immediate circle of family or in a close circle of connection, whose life hasn't been somewhere or other affected by, particularly by alcohol in the Irish context. And the challenge that is, and it affects not only the individual, but it affects a whole ripple of other people. And it's very hard, very difficult. And the more direct approach, that's one way of doing it, and I can understand it. And you'd feel like that at times. But ultimately, it doesn't bring about change.
Stay with us, Father Tom, if you can. Dara Hassett is on the line as well, of Hassett Considine Solicitors in Ennis, and he represented Joseph Pavelka in court recently. Good morning to you, Dara.
The last time I spoke to you was some weeks back. And as a result of your programme highlighting Joseph's issue and other coverage, there was a case conference called by the Vincent Nepal, which I attended on a Friday evening late, and Joseph and Peter were allocated accommodation in Galway and spent 2 weeks there, I believe, before they came back. But I was aware of when Joseph came back, he had just had surgery, and I've met him regularly, and he didn't look well, and his drinking hadn't reduced at all, as far as I could see, but he didn't look well. I saw you in court last Wednesday. He was addressed by the judge, the state, namely the Gardaí, concerns about his drinking and this new celebrity status and people giving him money. And I spoke to him after, and in no uncertain terms, we had a frank conversation with Peter present, that he had to moderate his drinking because it was going to end in one way. I'm not going to speculate on what Joseph died from, but I've no doubt that alcohol was a large factor in his demise.
What reaction did you get from Joseph to that? Because people will wonder, did he actually want to deal with his drinking? Was he aware of the need to deal with it?
I have no doubt Joseph wanted to deal with his addictions, but wanting to have been able to do two different things. I laid it out, and it was translated back to him by Peter what was going to happen. I explained that the sympathy factor was going to fade significantly if he didn't get his house in order. He would be yesterday's news. I advised him there was a certain sector of people who had no sympathy for him and Peter, and they may have their opinions voiced more loudly as time went on. And he said he would try his best to reduce his drinking, and that was last Wednesday evening in the courthouse, and as we spoke and we shook hands and they left. But I had concerns. I had never seen him look as ill. The key issue, I think, was that Joseph and Peter were not getting social welfare, and thus said they weren't able to afford accommodation. Now, there was a concern by giving them social welfare that they would simply spend the money on drink, but if they did that, at least the consequences they'd have to face themselves. At the meeting I attended, the department made it easy for Joseph and Peter to have their social welfare finally made available to them. And I understand the two men got a payment last Friday. The view I had was that if they got that money, and with the help of the agencies, accommodation would be secured down the line, apart from the hostel in Galway. And with a roof over their heads, they might be able to try and live somewhat of a normal life and take the chaos that existed in their daily routine in Ennis, which involved getting up, going to the local church to meet Father Hogan.
Right.
And then spending the day drinking Ennis, and that had to stop.
So you believe they got social welfare on Friday?
So I believe there are reports
that they got €100 each.
If they got the welfare, that would be the figure they would have been entitled to, I believe.
Now, you would have seen that so as well, representing hope for their situation, but ultimately it put a lot of money into their pockets on Friday. Joseph was found dead on Saturday night.
That may well have been an unfortunate timing, that the first payment of social welfare for first some time, shortly later, the poor man was found dead.
Okay.
But I have to say, John, before or after that payment, if it did arise, he was drinking excessively in the last 2 weeks. And he knew it himself. He knew it himself. But he had a very bad problem. Very bad problem, unfortunately.
I presume he's been in people's prayers already, or was mentioned at Masses over the weekend.
Very much so. And in such a way, early on in the conversation, John, people genuinely are sad and feel a sense of loss, because they were connected with Joseph and are connected with Peter. They're there every day.
Okay.
You beat them the time of the morning to have a little bit of banter with a number of people. And in the circumstances in which he has died, I suppose we only know too well, painfully, so many of our own fellow Irish women and men have ended up in not unsimilar circumstances, mm-hmm. particularly in London. I remember as a student doing the soup run in central London, the night run, and most of the men that we helped were either Scottish or Irish.
Clare FM's Morning Focus. It's what people in Clare are talking about.
Now, and so many of you getting in touch about the case of Joseph Pavelka, who was found dead in Ennis on Saturday night. And earlier on, when you heard from that interview that I carried out with him less than 4 weeks ago, you also heard from Peter Barham from Poland, who was also homeless and was a friend of Joseph's. And Peter Barham is with us. Peter, thank you for joining me in studio. My sympathies to you on the death of Joseph. How do you feel today?
Bad. Still bad. Still bad. He is my, Joseph is my best friend. I lose my not forced another friend.
People will worry about you now, Peter, because you're sleeping on the street and because you're drinking as well. How might the situation change? What might happen to help you now, or what do you hope?
Actually, last Friday, I have the meeting with somebody from Limerick. They organized it to me and treatment center. Priest can't, because I don't have doll. But he and she, the officer,
the probation
from the
officer,
homeless,
yeah,
from Limerick, tell me, no problem, organize it for me,
okay,
the treatment center.
Will you get somewhere to live?
Yes, I will. I will go. I won't stop the drink. I am too young for the die, like Joseph.
You want to stop?
Yes, I won't.
Do you think you can,
yes,
Peter? I hope you do get help.
Yes,
Peter, and I hope that you can deal with your problems too, because as you said, you are too young. We don't want that to happen.
That's
to you,
right,
what happened,
yeah,
to Joseph.
I am too young. I have only 36 years old.
You're 36.
36. No, 35. Okay. Anyway. So it's too early,
okay,
to die.
Definitely it is.
Definitely.
And Anthony McDonough is back with me as well. And Anthony, I know that would be your hope as well, that this, hopefully something good can come out of this bad situation, that there is hope for Peter.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the main thing. It's, you know, it's from our point of view, it's always been about the lads, and now even more intensely, it's about Peter and his welfare, short term and long term.
Okay. Keep your calls and comments coming, because so many of you are getting in touch on this story of Joseph Pavelka. Mary says she gave Joseph money a few times. It's mad to think, she says, that more couldn't be done for him. A caller says that they're fed up hearing about a man who could afford to drink all day. I couldn't do that, so enough of that now. Marion says, how sad about Joseph. Everyone is saying now it's a tragedy. A few months ago I found him having fallen on the footpath. People were just walking past and didn't want to know. I called an ambulance. Nobody knows when it could be one of their family. We'll all be equal in the grave someday, you know, she says. Sean Hayes is in Ennis. He says, people need to understand that giving people money who live on the streets can lead to disaster. I myself in the past have given food or tea or coffee to people on the streets. If you want to give money, donate it to a charity which you know will put these funds directly to work in the areas of homelessness. And many others getting in touch on this as well. Bella Heher is in Ennis as well and joins me on the line. Good morning, Bella.
Good morning, John.
Thanks very much for joining us. You knew Joseph like a lot of people in Ennis, I think.
Yeah, I'd be just one of the people that would have come across them on the street, and that's how I got to know them. I was actually talking to Joseph last Thursday morning, and Peter, and they told me that they were meeting with somebody. I was asking them how they were getting on and how he got on in Galway and that, and he was telling me about his appendix. And I said to him, you know, Joseph, I said, you really need to get yourself looked after, because he did not look well. And I said to him, I see how you get on, so if the next time I meet you. Now, I did see him on Saturday night around 10 o'clock it was. We were actually just coming through the town in driving.
Right.
And I actually had the window down in the car. And I thought it strange that Joseph was on his own, because Peter wasn't with him. And it was just outside the Port's Corner. And he looked absolutely terrible. He really looked, you know, the worst for wear. That's what I actually thought. And I actually passed the comment to my husband. I said, God, look at poor Joseph. I said, he's very bad tonight. And I said, look at his colour. It's terrible. And there were my words. But like that, like everybody else, I just kept going.